this is Debbie Weil. I welcome you to another interview on the topic of writing, designing, publishing, or marketing a short ebook.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. This is Debbie Weil, and we have another fantastic guest speaker for Beta Author Boost. And Michael, welcome.
Thanks, Debbie.
And Michael Margolis is, you know, it's even hard to, I know you're in the business of storytelling, but I went on all your different websites and got exactly what I thought was right, and I'm probably not going to tell your story just right, but I'll give it a try just really quickly. Michael is a branding and change consultant. That's actually what you had been, I think.
Yep.
And sort of had this life-changing event about 3 years ago and shifted course, and now you're a self-published author. You're founder of GetStoried.com, which is a fascinating company. It's an education advisory and publishing company with the goal being to teach the world, and specifically to teach business, how to think in narrative. So Michael's now a leading voice in the world of storytelling, especially storytelling as a business strategy for branding and innovation. And you all know, the beta authors know about your self-published book, Believe Me, A Storytelling Manifesto for Changemakers and Innovators. And Michael is also the founder of Reinvention Summit, about which he will tell us more at the end of our interview. So let's jump in. Michael, we've got two topics.
Yeah.
As you and I discussed before, one is storytelling and one is a little bit more about your experience with Create Space to self-publish your book. But let's start with storytelling.
Why is
storytelling so important for writers?
Yeah, so you alluded to this in the introduction, that I want to set some context, which is we're going to talk about storytelling not from the perspective of, okay, how do I tell a better anecdote and sort of the notion of, like, recounting a really cool episode and time in my life. That's all really important, and that's a core part of storytelling for writers. What we're going to talk about, though, is storytelling from the perspective of business, from the perspective of branding, from the perspective of how do you build and attract a tribe of like-minded individuals who identify and connect with your message. So if you're a writer and you're self-publishing, you're creating a book, your personal story is actually key to your perceived worth and value. Think about it this way. There's 1,000 books out there on consulting. There's 1,000 books on marketing. There's 1,000 books on innovation. There's 1,000 books on home decoration. Whatever your niche or area of specialty, there's so many other books on that same very topic. And so what's going to make your book most interesting is by bringing your voice, your personality, your point of view to the surface. And that's what ultimately people are going to connect with. And my guess is, Debbie, for most people who are in your program, they're looking to publish a book or an ebook from the perspective of a really book as a business card, right?
Yeah.
Is that a fair assumption? Right? So from that place, right, your personal story in getting people to connect with who you are, what makes you tick, and how you see the world is actually one of the most important objectives of creating this book in the first place.
Well put. I mean, that just absolutely spot on. And I think it's something that the group has been wrestling with in terms of how to structure their book and how to tell the story of whatever their message is. So on that point, give us some storytelling techniques, if you will, that business authors could use in a short book to make it memorable and compelling.
I would be happy to, Debbie. If I can, though, I want to speak to one other thing first that just needs to be acknowledged.
Sure.
Which is, the hardest story to tell is always our own. And when it comes to this process of sort of sharing your story, it's one of the most vulnerable and fear-inducing acts that any of us go through. And everything that we've been taught and trained about how to live, how we've been taught and trained for how we're supposed to do business, and sort of the old way of personal branding, actually goes counter to the notion of actually just telling your personal story and drawing people into your world. So there's a lot of insecurity and inadequacy, which I've suffered and struggled with my whole life. This is what brought me to storytelling myself, because for most of my life, I felt lost in translation. You know, I was a nerd before it was cool to be a nerd. And I come from a very creative family where my father's an inventor, my mother's a teacher, artist, and toy designer. So I had a lot of creative freedom. But with those two parents, you can imagine they never taught me how to fit in or belong anywhere. So that's become part of my own journey. There's a reason why I teach storytelling, because it's my own medicine, right? We teach what we need to learn most. And so I've been obsessed with storytelling for over a decade. I used to be a message architect and strategic storyteller. And then as Debbie mentioned, 3 years ago, I went through a divorce. I lost my business. I was on the brink of bankruptcy. And in that Phoenix Rising, I built a global education platform to teach marketers and change makers how to tell their story. And the first thing that I did was I wrote my manifesto. So I wanted to just acknowledge, though, that there's a reason why there's a lot of fear and resistance around telling our story, especially if any of you, and I'm imagining most of you are in one way or another, an innovator, a change maker, a pioneer, a visionary. Like, there's something about what you do that's new and different, and we have to all work through programming in that when we speak our truth, bad things happen, right? When we really go open kimono to the world and we really say what we're thinking, we might die.
Well, let me ask you, Michael, let me ask you another question, though. Are people afraid, and this is a totally obvious question, but are people afraid of telling their story because they think they're not good enough somehow, or they're not special enough, or they didn't go to the right university, or they haven't worked for the right companies? Is that part of it?
Yeah. So here's the funny thing, right? I speak to many different audiences around the world, and I always take a poll, and most of the time, most people in the room, nobody thinks that they're a storyteller. And the moment you say, oh, tell me a story, and we immediately think, oh, God, I got to perform. Right? You want me to get up on stage? And we think of this as like an act of storytelling. And part of what I think we can explore through the rest of this conversation, Debbie, is storytelling is really more about it's becoming conscious of the story that you're telling, that's basically like how you frame the conversation. How you frame the conversation of who you are, how you frame the conversation about the problems and the challenges that you're trying to solve, and doing it in a way that others can identify, connect, and relate to that they'll want to go on the journey with you. So let me give, for instance, let's go to your original question now, if you want, which is so here's one of the first tips for all of you to think about. Here's actually a very simple story positioning formula. I mean, it's something I teach in I've got an online course called The New About Me. It teaches people how to reinvent their bio into a story, and especially for experts and authors and speakers and so on. So here's the story formula for story positioning, which is: I've been on a journey, and I've got something to share. I've had to learn things the hard way, so now I want to share them with you so you don't have to struggle and suffer the same way I did. Right? So there's an aspect for each and every single one of you. There's a deeper motivation and reason behind your work. There's like some kind of riddle you're trying to solve. There's something that speaks to your inner geek. You're like obsessed with whether it's something around personal development, it might be culture change, it might be making the accounting process more human and approachable, whatever that thing is that turns you on. There's something about that journey, right, that you've been like, wait, no, you know what, I think there's a better way to do this. I think there's something missing from the conversation. That is when you start thinking about the story that you need to tell in your book. That's the context and frame you need to set up, including giving people a sense of what you've had to overcome on this journey of going, yeah, no, 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 you know what? There's a higher truth here that's really important that I want to speak to, and I think it actually can help others who've been suffering and struggling with the same thing. Does that make sense?
It absolutely does, and it just fits in so perfectly with my much more mundane request to our authors to figure out in an introduction or chapter one how to say, you know, who am I? You know, why am I writing this book? Who is it for? You know, why do I feel compelled to write this book? Who is it for, and how, you know, what will it do for you?
Yeah.
And but you said it much more eloquently. But I think there is this strong, I mean, if you're going to have enough of a desire to write a book, I think it comes out of that place that you're talking about, which is that you want to tell the world something they haven't been told before, and you feel really strongly and passionately about it. So, but I love the way you said that, because it makes it more fun to think about.
So
keep going with another, whatever you want to talk about.
One quick comment, though, I want to respond to your point of, like, telling them something they haven't heard before. Like, my perspective at this point, because we live in this world of infinite knowledge, so, frankly, if people want to find out something, they can Google it. Odds are they probably have heard that information before. But what makes for a powerful book, just like what makes for a powerful movie, what makes for a powerful TV show, is about the emotional content. It's your ability to take a subject or a topic that people might be familiar with or they have an interest in, and it's how you bring it to life. It's how you imbue it with that energy and passion. That's how people are able to take that information and it turns into meaning. It actually means something to them because they have an emotional experience. So one of the ways, of course, to do that is by also establishing your own emotional experience, right, which is why we talk about your own personal story. And let me give everybody a very simple formula for this, too, or at least a concept that you can play with, which is this idea of superhero origins. All right, so think of your favorite superhero. Batman, Wonder Woman, Superman, the Incredible Hulk, they all have an epic origin tale for how they came into their powers. Like, we usually forget this. There are few superheroes that are born superheroes. Instead, you are made a superhero based on circumstances and the choices that you make in the face of those circumstances. Right? So circumstances and choices are really important. So when you think, so there's a way to set this up for yourself. Like Gary Vaynerchuk, I love to use him as an example, you know, huge gregarious voice in the world of social media. Well, you know, Gary is an American businessman born in Belarus who used to make $1,000 a weekend selling baseball cards and had a franchise of neighborhood lemonade stands, all right, before the age of 11. Right, so you get this, like, epic setup, legendary epic setup. Mm. Gary is a natural-born hustler. Right, you see it in his backstory. Now, you might be, well, look, I'm no Gary Vaynerchuk. That's cool. I have another friend, Margarita, who tells the story of how she's a coach, and she tells the story of how she first discovered and honed her coaching skills in the kindergarten, where, you know, she went to the front of the class, learned how to tie her shoelaces, and then, you know, proceeded to teach everybody else in the room how to tie her shoelaces. And she kind of, and if you know Margarita, it so captures her personality. So she has this little origin tale. So part of what you want to do is you want to anchor whatever your obsession, your interest, your passion, you want to anchor it in the past to let people know, like, this is who you were born to be. Like, this is your place of natural authority. So it could be something that happened in childhood. It could be something that occurred early in your career. But that superhero origin is going to give you a deeper level of confidence and presence as well of, like, yeah, this is my work or mission. And when people connect to that part of your energy, that's how people emotionally really connect to the content of a book.
And that's so perfect. And I've heard the shoelaces story before, and it just captures so perfectly what you mean by sort of, you know, what your place is Natural authority. I love that. Are there any other tips related to storytelling that you think would be useful as these authors sort of go get further into their writing of their short book? I mean, we've really been in the thinking phase for the past 2 weeks, which involves many steps in itself, in and of itself. You know, what's the idea, focusing the idea, organizing the idea. But as they go forward, whatever comes to you, what if you were thinking about, you know, writing another short book, or what would you tell them about how they might think about using storytelling to help them move forward?
Yeah, so I think there's two more things that I would speak to. The first is this issue of context. So one of the things everybody is struggling with, because we're all going through reinvention in our careers, in our businesses, in our society, so people are struggling to locate themselves. They're struggling to figure out where am I? Where do I belong? Where am I going? Whether that's for themselves or for their enterprise. So context is critical in your book. You need to set the context. Because if I don't have context, I don't really know, like, why does this matter? How does this relate to me? Why should I care? And Moses, there's a word that keeps coming up here, which is why. So this is the second point I was going to make, which is storytelling starts with why. There's a reason why little kids love asking that question, why. So you yourself want to also think about the first question you should ask yourself with that around why is, why are you even telling this story? Right? So your intention or motivation is critical. Because people are so suspicious and cynical today, and we all know people use a book as a business card. And there's lots of books out there that aren't worth the paper it's printed on. It's a vanity press bunch of garbage. So worry less about this needs to be the authoritative book on this subject that's an encyclopedia that's 1,000 pages long. Instead, go for a shorter book that really has something to say and go from that place of intention or motivation. What's the gift that you want to share with people? And what you want to think about with that is what's called the golden principle of storytelling. The golden principle of storytelling is about reminding people, helping people see that they share more in common with you than their difference. Right, that's why we fall in love with Harry Potter or James Bond or whoever your favorite heroes or characters are from stories. Because there's a part of you that sees yourself in the story. Even if it's an aspirational part of yourself. Which is why it's really important to put yourself in the story of letting people know what's at stake for you. And, you know, if you do that, if you're willing to share a bit of why you care so much about this topic, all right, and in turn, it basically will help you educate your reader or audience to let them know that you really care about them, that you know what they're going through. That power of empathy is really critical. That's what's going to get your audience to trust and believe in you to go on this journey, in reading your book and ultimately of wanting to be in relationship with you and do business with you. So those, you know, I do have like it's a quick little checklist that you can use that speaks to this, which is truth, empathy, and vulnerability. So truth is think about what's missing from the conversation in your field or industry, right? You want something that people go, whoa, man, there's some heat to this. There's some edge. This is provocative. I like this. This person's going for it. They're taking a risk. So you gotta start with truth, right? And you have to sometimes dig in there to find it. But start with truth. Empathy is letting people know that you care about them. This isn't just about your own ego, but you really understand what people are going through, right? And you're able to describe and paint that struggle and challenge of what they're trying to overcome. And third is vulnerability, which is, again, you have to break through this old model of guru leadership, like thought leadership. Well, I'm the sage on stage with all the answers. Our social media culture is changing how people want to relate to experts. So if you can share some of your own foibles, if you can be a little self-deprecating about how you've been trying to work through some of this stuff and how you're even a work in progress, people will trust and believe in you so much more than you being the expert with all the answers. So those are three things that's a good checklist to just really sit with as you're writing your book, Truth, Empathy, and Vulnerability, that are key attraction factors to draw people into your story.
Oh, Michael, just gives me the shivers just listening to you, because it's so absolutely spot on to what we've been talking about and to what I think makes I'm calling it a kick-ass short book that, you know, really grabs the reader and provides some value. Let's shift gears, and this is going to sound so kind of unsexy, but let's talk about print-on-demand.
Yeah.
And your beautiful book. And if you can tell everyone listening a little bit more about what it meant to use CreateSpace as your print-on-demand publisher, even a little bit about how much it cost, how long it took, how you were able to get such a beautiful design, because a lot of people were worried about the book looking kind of amateurish and so, you know, like it was self-published. So anything you want to tell us about that?
Yeah, so first of all, I am an almost paid spokesperson for CreateSpace. Just to be totally forthright, I mean, I originally just discovered them, used them. I self-published my book on CreateSpace in 90 days from the first word on paper to having the book available for sale on Amazon. I was a man on a mission 3 years ago. It was the summer of 2009. I was in the midst of this divorce. I was broke. I'm like, this is going to launch my new business, and I just knocked it out. Now, mind you, my book is 88 pages long. All right, and I've only had one complaint. I've only had one person ever say, gosh, I feel like I was gypped. It's only 88 pages long. Okay, my book has been read by more than 12,000 people. I've had one complaint about the length of it. So keep that in mind. All right, so that's the beauty of CreateSpace is, and I went the DIY model with them, so it was zero upfront cost. I just found out the specs that I needed for like an InDesign, for basically how to submit the thing in the right margins and did it that way.
Tell us specifically, and also you have to remind us whether they do the Kindle ebook version too. I think they don't, because that would be a separate process. But
It's really easy though. There's multiple parts within the Amazon family, so that's Kindle Direct Publishing.
Okay, sure.
Which is a sister company, and you just pay $200 and they'll convert your ebook into a Kindle format.
Or you can get that, because that's what I'm doing with the authors. Or you can get another formatter to do it. But okay, so
absolutely.
That's clear. So this is separate. So CreateSpace is for the printed edition of your book, and you submitted your files in InDesign, which is a pretty high-end...
No. Sorry. The InDesign is just what my designer worked in. All CreateSpace wants or needs is a PDF copy of your book that's formatted with the right margins for whatever size of book that you're choosing. So you download a little template they give you. They're like, here's the margins you need to use, and here's a couple formatting suggestions, blah, blah, blah. So I did the total DIY version of CreateSpace, which is zero upfront cost, and I hired my own designer and my own copy editor to produce it all. And all in all, I spent about $4,500, and that also included the cost of putting together a little book microsite, which is believemethebook.com, if anybody wants to see that. I just found some really good freelancers that I was able to get kind of at cut rate, and we knocked it out. So your question about design, when you're writing a short little book or an ebook, design really does matter. So the way I even conceptualize my book, it's got 15 chapters. Each chapter is a two-page spread. There's a quote for each chapter, and then there's a one-page and that's like the quote is on one page, and then the second page is an axiom on storytelling, a short little anecdote or teaching piece, some reflection questions. And then I've got all sorts of front matter and back matter, extra bonus resources. I really did turn it into a business card for myself. But there's also a lot of substance in those 88 pages, you know.
Well, I've read it. I mean, I think it is very impactful, although I hate that word. I shouldn't be saying it. And filled with stuff. You go, oh, you know, as you turn the pages.
That's what
it's very beautiful.
Yes.
It's also a different, remind us, it's a different size. It's more.
Yeah, I always forget the exact, I think it's like a 6x6. I decided to make mine square. I just wanted to have a different look and feel. It's a bright yellow cover, which also just, I wanted something to just pop and feel different and be the kind of thing you put on your coffee table or you kind of, that just, it had this real sense of like, man, there's something different about this. And then when you flip through it, it's designed for ADD culture so that in 2 minutes you'll get something. It jumps out at you. You can spend 2 minutes reading a page or two and you'll get a real kernel to sort of chew on. Or you can read it cover to cover, and when you get to the end, it takes you back to the beginning. Like, it's meant to have layers to it, so that wherever you are in your journey, if you're an expert on storytelling or you're just getting started, there's something there for you. And what I decided to do, the book went on sale October of 2009, and within 2.5 months, I'd made back all the costs on the book. So for the Christmas holidays, I decided to give away a PDF version for free. All I asked was for an email in exchange.
Thank you. I have to ask you about that. Yeah.
Yeah, and that became a big success for me, and I've continued to give away a digital version of the book, the PDF version, for free, and it's how we've grown our email list to over 12,000. You know, I mean, people grow their email list with all sorts of different bonuses and different things like that. I've just chosen to make it my manifesto because I really felt like, yeah, you know what? This kind of frames the conversation in a bit of a provocative and edgy way about the world of storytelling. It's, you know, it's not a how-to book, although you certainly can get a lot of provocation and get some great kernels and tidbits and examples that you pull from it. But it was meant to be a conversation starter and a platform builder, and that's exactly what it's been. I mean, I get invited to do keynotes and trainings all around the world, you know, and get paid $8,000, $10,000, $12,000, you know, per gig to do it. I've got all sorts of e-courses online. We're doing our big reinvention summit coming up in April, which is our storytelling's biggest online conference, April 16th through the 20th. So in this case, I've also really focused on being an evangelist for the larger field, the market of business storytelling. So I've got 20 other leading voices across the world of storytelling, folks like Robert McKee, who's a legendary Hollywood screenwriting coach, Rohit Bhargava, who's at Ogilvy and a really great author, Bo Eason, a former NFL player, folks from the social change world, folks from Zappos and Cirque du Soleil, just looking at storytelling from a lot of different angles. And in fact, if people are interested in that event, you can go to reinventionsummit.com, and you can sign up for a free 5-part video series. And at the end of that video series, it will then tell you about the online summit that's happening and how you can register for that if you're interested. Or if you just want to go and register immediately, we've got an early bird on that that's $197 that goes through the end of March for registration, and that's reinventionsummit.com/register. So a couple different options there, but hopefully.
I love the site. I just love the Reinvention site with your videos. One more quick question.
Yes,
about,
of course.
The PDF version versus the other two versions would be the Kindle ebook version and the printed version.
Yep.
Obviously, the PDF download is not really, you might say it is, but it's not really competing with the printed version because it is such a beautiful design book. So some people want the book, and then they order the print edition.
Yep.
Do you worry about, I think the answer is you don't, worry about people taking the PDF versus getting it on their, for Kindle, and of course if the PDF is going to show how beautiful it is in color and design, and you won't really see that on the Kindle. Any comments on that? Because people authors are asking me a lot, well, what about, you know, how I can design something for Kindle?
Well, and that's exactly why I've been slow of creating a Kindle version for it. We actually have it in the works. We don't even have a Kindle version available yet.
Okay.
But it's actually just waiting for some approval. We have to update some of our back matter, the marketing pages of the book, and then it'll be out. But it just hasn't been a priority for us because here's the difference. I'm using the digital version of my book as a email list builder and lead generator because I get to trade an email address for the digital copy of the book. If I put it on Kindle, I'm not getting that information from, I'm not getting permission to be in relationship with my audience. So I haven't had a huge incentive or motivation to create the Kindle version because and also because our book is so visually dynamic, and at least the first generations of Kindle, it was really just straight up text. You kind of lost all that formatting. I know the new Kindle Fires have, can incorporate a lot of that visual layout and formatting. So it hasn't been a priority. I think your bigger question, though, about giving away the digital version versus people buying the book, has it cannibalized sales of the book? Absolutely. But here's the thing, right? You don't make your money on the book. Unless you're a best-selling author with a huge distribution deal from a big publishing house and you're selling hundreds of thousands of the book, you're not going to make your big money on the book, right? The book, again, is a business card in a platform builder. So, I've sold 2,000 copies of the book, the physical copy of the book, so I get a royalty check every month from anywhere from $350 to 1 month, I almost broke $1,000 on my royalty. It was like $985. So I get royalties every month from CreateSpace. So it's a nice little bonus. But I never wrote the book from the place of, I'm going to make all my money from the book. It's like I make maybe $6,000 to $12,000 a year from book sales. One speaking gig, one keynote is the equivalent of all my book sales for a whole year. Keynotes and training is just one part of my business.
Yeah.
I got all the online info products and so on. So, yeah.
Well, there's so many lessons, I think, to be drawn from that. And one of them is that there are different kinds of books.
Yes.
A book that's a beautiful, illustrated, designed piece, even now really isn't the best format for a Kindle. But you are, quote, an author because you did make your book available in print.
Absolutely. It's in the Amazon bookstore.
Right, in the Amazon bookstore. Whereas if you just had it as a PDF download from your site, it's a little different. Then it's just kind of a PDF download. So anyway, we won't go into too many nuances on that. But, Michael, that was brilliant. I'm just sitting here just nodding my head. And so that Michael Margolis, thank you so much, of GetStoried.com and ReinventionSummit.com, which I highly recommend that everyone check out. The site itself is beautiful and worth looking at for that.
Thanks.
And the event sounds incredibly interesting.
You said
April 16th to 20th?
April 16th through the 20th, 20 sessions on how to use storytelling for better branding, marketing, copywriting, content creation, social change, personal transformation. We draw on every discipline imaginable, from viral marketing to the site to psychology to Hollywood screenwriting, drawing from a lot of different experts, and all the sessions are very actionable with worksheets and transcripts and the whole bit. So,
this is
kind of our big old festival. But the simplest thing that anybody who's listening, what you should do is if you go to reinventionsummit.com, there you can sign up for the free 5-part video series that I created that's basically the pre-party. And when you sign up for that, you'll get a copy of my manifesto.
Ooh, all right.
Yeah, we're built into it. So you'll get a free digital copy of the manifesto right there. You'll get to see a few of these videos. You'll see how I'm using storytelling that way as a teaching vehicle. And at the end of the videos, then it sends you the link and tells you about the actual summit and if you want to sign up for that. Or if you just are like, dude, get me to the summit, I'm all for it, you can go to just reinventionsummit.com/
All right, well, there was a little mini lesson in book marketing and marketing through a website. Michael, thank you so much, because that's just brilliant. So So we all join in saying thank you so much for your time today, and we to be continued.
Yeah, well, I love what you're doing, Debbie, and I just want to acknowledge everybody in your tribe and community. The work that you're doing in creating your book is one of the best, smartest investments that you could make for building your business and platform and getting in touch with your story, because the process of writing a book, it forces you to think about what's the story that's worth telling, what's my meaningful message and gift. And so you'll get so much out of this, and you couldn't be in better hands working with Debbie. I'm jealous, and I can't wait to be a student in your program sometime coming up.
Oh, all right. And we can't wait to show you all of our books. So,
awesome. I'd love to see them.
Okay. Take care, and we will talk soon.
Cheers. All right. Take care, everybody.